Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his precious blood. Thank you for his sacrifice. Lord, thank you for everything that you've done for us. Psalm 91 says this, first verse. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you hear us and you answer us. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that you answered our prayer last week for Sam, Lord. Lord, that he had the right diagnosis. And Lord, it's amazing how quickly you moved in that situation. So, Lord, thank you for that answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, that he's getting well now. And, Lord, we just pray, Father, that he would continue to get well. Lord, that your hand would be upon him and that your healing touch would be on his body, Father. Lord, we remember Graham. And, Lord, we thank you that you brought him through the operation that he's just had, Lord. Lord, to remove his toe, and Lord, that it's healing well. And Father, we continue to lift him up to you and his wife, Bernie, and their family, Father, and ask, Lord, that you would be in their midst, that you would bring healing, Lord. Lord, you know the circumstances. You know, Lord, the difficulties. Lord, would you bring that healing touch for Graham, Lord, in his body? Lord, we thank you that he is a man of faith. Lord, would you bring relief, Lord, in his house, Father, we pray. Build him up, Lord. And Lord, we prayed for Joanne already today, but Lord, we lift her to you again. And Father, you know the situation. Lord, you know what she needs. And Lord, your word says that you are a God who provides, Lord. In you, we have everything that we need. So, Father, we're asking, Father, that you would provide all that she needs at this time, Father. And, Lord, where there is any fear, Lord, I bind it in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I pray for your peace to come. So, Lord, would you surround her with your angels? Would you surround every single one of these people with your angels, Lord? And give them the comfort that they need, Lord. We remember Mike too, Lord, Mike Baker. And Father, we ask for your healing touch upon his body too, Lord. Lord, that you would strengthen him, Lord, in his body, but also in his mind and in his spirit, Father. Lord, that he would know that you are with him and that he can look to you. And Lord, we remember Deborah too, Lord. Lord, as she navigates through this time of bereavement, Father. Lord, thank you for those people that have been able to come alongside her. And Lord, I pray the same prayer for Judy. Thank you, Father, that she's back in fellowship with us. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the comfort that they need, Lord, they would find it in you every day. Lord, in the up moments and in the down moments. Lord, in the times when they remember the good times, and Lord, in the times when they remember the sadness and the grief. Father, be their comfort, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I'm speaking this morning. Guess what I'm speaking on? We're going to be speaking, I'm talking about prayer today. Some of you might switch off. Some people may be switched off at the mention of the word prayer. Some may say, I've tried it and it hasn't worked. I know my daughter said that to me once, but I know it does. Some of you may even think, well, it's just a bit boring, isn't it? Some may be uncertain or even afraid of doing it, especially in public. I can remember those days being in the cafes uptown and being together and somebody would say, let's pray, and I think, ooh, I'm in public. What are people going to think? They're going to think I'm a bit crazy. But I've got over myself now. It's more about God and for whoever we're praying for at that moment. I'm hoping to show you how dynamic and wonderful prayer is, and hopefully inspire you to pray or to pray more often and to join others in prayer with confidence and without fear. I want to share something of my own journey and experience of prayer and why I think it is one of the most fundamental and dynamic parts of our faith and walk with God. Now, I've got a lot of questions here. So what is prayer? What is your concept of prayer? Why do we need to do it? How do we do it? What are the benefits of prayer? I'm asking a lot of questions because I want you to think about it. You may think you know all there is to know about it and have experienced all there is where prayer is concerned. But shall we see if that's true? When we believe that Jesus died for us and accept that he is our Lord and Saviour, we are entering into a new relationship. We all know that we are made for relationship. We crave relationship with others. God sent his Son that we could be brought back into a right relationship with him. God craves to be in relationship with us. You can see that in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verses 1 to 6. We all know this really well. And God spoke these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Did you know that God was jealous for you? He is jealous for us. He's jealous for our love, our attention, our loyalty. As believers, we're in a covenant with him. You could say it's a marriage. He is loyal to it and the promises he has made. He expects us to be loyal to him. We are in relationship with him and have made a promise to him, to follow him, and as such are sharing everything about life together. He wants to be part of and involved in our lives. God wants to be in a relationship with every single one of us and with us as a people. God wants to spend time with us. Robin's just exhorted us to spend time with him to every day, morning and evening. In Genesis chapters 2 and 3, we see that God made Adam and Eve to be in relationship. Go and read that story. With him and with each other. So we're in relationship with God and with each other. He walked with them in the Garden of Eden and he wants to walk with us. He made us to be in relationship with him and with each other. So another question. What would you say is the number one necessity in any relationship? Anybody know? Come on. Yes, well done. Thank you. Communication. If we don't communicate well in any relationship, then we are in for a difficult time. Put simply, prayer is having a conversation with God. It is communicating with him. Jesus is our role model when it comes to prayer. So we can look at the life of Jesus and we can model our prayer life on what he did. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says this, and this was Jesus. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." He expected us to pray, and he taught his disciples and us how to pray. And we see in Matthew 6, verses 5 to 8, he was teaching on prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I've just put a little note here. Jesus was also reminding us of our motives for prayer here. I think it's always good to check our motives when we get into that place of prayer with God. What are we praying for? Is it for our benefit? Is it for others? Is it for recognition? We need to check our motives, that our motives are good and in line with God's will. And we must not pray in public for personal recognition. Now, we all know this prayer. Again, it's a model for prayer. It's very well known. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. They call it the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So Jesus expected us to pray, and with the right motives. He modelled prayer, and he taught it. And just notice here that he said, when you pray, not if you pray. So every single relationship we have would not survive without communication. We need to talk and listen and understand and speak words of love and encouragement and support to the other person and receive the same from them. For the relationship to work, or for the relationship to work well. So prayer is about relationship, and it comes from the heart. It's being in relationship and communicating well with God. So the next question, how do we do it? I'm sure I'm talking to a lot of you that spend quite a bit of time in prayer. Anytime, anywhere, as often as we can, and any way we can. So I'll repeat that. We need to pray anytime, anywhere, as often as we can, and any way we can. We're all different, and we all have our different ways of communicating with each other. We can communicate face-to-face, one-to-one. We like to call that quality time. We like to get away so we can have that quality time. And really, we're talking about getting away and just being in relationship with each other. We can have a regular place to meet. We meet and communicate in groups with our friends and our families, at celebrations, within our own interests, etc., etc. I could go on. We communicate by talking, by listening, with our body language, with writing. Maybe you are more artistic. You communicate with poetry or drawing and painting or with music, song and dance. And we can communicate with God in all these ways. We love to communicate, don't we? We have our mobile phones, messages coming in all the time, video calls, speaking on the phone to one another. It's a constant barrage, you know. Sometimes it gets a bit too much, but with God it isn't. He wants us to be constantly in communication with him. And in the same way that we pray and we pray differently and communicate with God, he communicates back to us in a way that we understand. And he understands us and our prayers, and he will communicate back to us in a way that we understand. So, my concept of prayer and understanding of it has changed over the years. It's changed as my relationship has deepened. My attitude towards it has changed. I've gone from seeing it as a chore at times, and let's face it, sometimes we do feel like that, and doing it because others expect us to. Now I want to pray because I want to be in the presence of God. I just want to be in his presence. I want to experience him. I want him to speak to me. I want to know him on a deeper level. I want to pray not just for provision for myself or others, because it's so much more than that. It's relational and it's on a deeper level. So over the years, I've learned to talk to God in different ways. I've set aside a time and a place to read my Bible and pray. And I think reading the word and praying go hand in hand. I don't think you can have one without the other. So sometimes I go for a walk with him. Sometimes I write to him. I use a notebook and I write out my thoughts and my prayers, particularly when I'm trying to understand what he is teaching me from his word, or if I'm distressed about something or need direction or an answer to a problem or situation. And you can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be just speaking. You can write it. So I write down what I think and feel God is saying to me. And it's good to write it down, actually, because when you look back, you can see how God has answered. And you can see where he's perhaps told you something that's going to happen in the future. And it has. And it builds up your faith. Sometimes God answers me in pictures when I'm praying for others. He gives me discernment about what is going on for that person or a word of prophecy for them. I've learned to talk to God about anything at any given moment, like we would in any intimate relationship. Sometimes it's a request, sometimes it's a thank you, sometimes it's praise. Sometimes I don't know how or what to pray for a person or situation. In those moments, I ask God to help me and to lead me. He helps me to speak in tongues or shows me what to pray. I've learnt to invite him in. Sometimes prayer is just one word. Sometimes it's help. Sometimes it's a sigh. Sometimes it's a groan. Sometimes it's tears or even laughter. Sometimes we just can't formulate the words when our emotions are overwhelming. But God understands what that sigh is or those tears are, and he answers us. So prayer can be as different as any individual is. So don't lack confidence or think you've got it wrong because your prayers sound different to somebody else. Pray what is on your heart. Pray the way the Holy Spirit is leading you. A few weeks ago, I was standing up here, I prayed for people, and then I invited Emmanuel to come up and pray. And when Emmanuel prays, he prays. And it's wonderful. But I can remember standing here thinking, have I just done it wrong, Lord? And he said, no, you haven't. Emmanuel is Emmanuel. You are you. You are your character. I want you to pray as you are. One thing we can be sure of is when we move towards God in prayer, he will move towards us. In 2 Chronicles 6, we can read Solomon's great prayer on behalf of the people of Israel. And in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 3, we read this. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, his love endures forever." So when we move towards God, he moves towards us. So prayer is being in relationship with God. But I also want to say it's a place. It's a place where we meet him, like the Israelites did on that day. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can meet God face to face. We can go into the Holy of Holies. The curtain has been torn in two. We stand by God's grace. We stand in the righteousness of Christ and not in our sins. So let us look at the possibilities of what can happen in that place of prayer, in the place of meeting. Just going to take you back to Exodus and look at what happened when Moses met God. So in Exodus 3, verses 1 to 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." And when the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Wow, what a meeting. What an introduction to God. So when we move into a physical place with God, we're also moving into the spiritual realm. We are inviting him into where we are in the physical, and he is inviting us into heavenly places. Heaven and earth are meeting. The place becomes holy ground. Ever thought of that? When you're in your bedroom or you're in your living room and you're praying, ever thought of that being a holy place? This is a place of transformation where the divine meets the ordinary and changes everything. It changes us and it changes situations and circumstances. It's a place of introduction, of getting to know God and inviting him into our lives. It's a place of learning and finding answers and new perspectives, of submission and surrender. I can talk about that for myself, submission and surrender, because I've had that experience. I remember a time when I was having a really difficult time with a family situation and things had just blown up and I was really, really hurt. And I was talking to God about it. I was crying and I was so angry about what had happened. You know, but God called me to look at myself. I had to submit to him. He had to say, "Look, Jane, you've got your part to play in this." I had to ask for his forgiveness in that moment. And then I had to submit to what he was telling me to do. And I tell you, it wasn't an easy thing to do. It was so difficult. He told me that I had to ask for the people who I felt hurt by, for their forgiveness, for my part in it. I went, Lord, please. But I had to do it. And then he told me that I had to thank them. I thought, thank them? Thank them? Really? And he said, yes. I had to submit. I had to become humble in that situation. So I wrote to them. I had to send those letters. I asked them to forgive me for my part in it. I sent them another letter and I thanked them for what they'd done for me over the years. And then he said, I want you to write another letter. And I said, really, Lord? He said, I want you to bless them. So I know what it is to be in submission and to be humbled in that place and to surrender to his will. It's a place of asking and provision, of healing in body, mind and spirit. And I tell you, when I submitted to God in those moments, I found that peace that I needed. And I found healing in my mind. It's also a place of worship and gratitude. It's a place where we are challenged in our perspectives and attitudes and wrong behaviours. It's a place of repentance and forgiveness, like I've just said. And it's a place of peace. It's also a place of spiritual warfare. But that's a whole other subject. I could give a whole sermon on that. It's a place where we learn to overcome adversity, to stand and to persevere. I could go on. This is by no means an exhaustive list, because God cannot be exhausted. He is in the business of abundant life and he wants to be exuberant and lavish in his pouring out of it to us. And he pours it out to us in those times of prayer, in those times of meeting, in that place of meeting. The many prayers in the Bible, you can read right from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. You can't read the stories without finding some prayer there. We know the most well-known one, the Lord's Prayer, and we've read it. And it's a good model to use in our prayer life. But for me, the Lord's Prayer is the prayer that Jesus prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for us. And it's a great example of how to pray from the heart for yourself and for others. It's in John 17. And it's a long passage, but I really want to pray the whole thing so you can get a feel of how Jesus was praying and how it was really coming from his heart. So let's read it. Let's read it together. After Jesus said this, he looked up toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that you know, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth, finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe, but that by that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scriptures could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As I sent you into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. What a prayer. What a prayer. I find it so moving and so full of love. It is clear that Jesus was in close relationship and partnership with his Father, and he wants the same for us. So let's not forget that this is about being in relationship with God and in partnership with his Holy Spirit. Prayer is a place of partnering with and aligning ourselves with his will for our lives and making requests for his will to be done in the lives of others. He wants to see us transformed for the better and speaking and moving in unity with him. He wants to see our fellowship moving in unity with him and reaching our community and nation with his message, with his good news and his transforming power. We have the honour of being his partner, his friend, his bride. How can that relationship be sustained if we don't communicate with him, if we don't pray? Speak to God and he will speak to you. He is your Father and you are his child. He wants to hear from you and what is on your heart. He wants to be with you. He wants to provide for you and transform you and your circumstances and the community you live in. Prayer is so much more than we can imagine because God is so much more than we can imagine. Ask God to teach you how to pray. There is so much in his word. Do some study on prayer. You can find it in every book of the Bible. There's some good examples to follow. Use his word to pray. Psalms is a good place to start. If you haven't done that before, speak scripture. Speak scripture over your life. Speak the promises over your life and the lives of others. Speak God's promises over your families and friends and communities. Do what Jesus did and speak the truth of scripture against the enemy's lies. So, let's get into that place. The place of prayer, the place of partnership and transformation, the place where heaven meets earth, prayers as an individual with God or together with others, because with God we are stronger, better, together, and lives and communities are transformed. Let's invite God in. Let's see, as Robin has already said this morning, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you.